On December 20th, 2022, Caden Black, a beloved 19-year-old son and brother, was reported missing in Wrightville, Pennsylvania. His family hadn't heard from him in 3 days, and he had failed to show up to his dad's house for a pre-planned get-together, which was completely out of character. The police immediately launched an investigation into Caden's disappearance, but there was no sign of him anywhere. It's been just over 16 months since Caden went missing, so this is by no means a cold case. But even with all the science and technology available today, investigators are still searching for him. Hey everyone, welcome back to Detective Perspective. My name is Derek Levasseur. I'm a licensed private investigator and former police detective, and each week I'll be covering an unsolved case in story format. I'll then give you my perspective on the investigation and provide contact information for the individuals or organizations connected to the case so that if you have any tips, you can contact them directly and maybe you can contribute to solving a case. And if you're someone who's interested in true crime, specifically unsolved cases, and you would like to hear my opinion on those investigations, please consider subscribing whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever platform you use. Another example of a relatively recent case where we're in a society where we have all the science, technology, and resources, and yet people can still just vanish without a trace. And it leaves law enforcement scratching their head and family members asking a lot of questions. And Caden's case is something where it has been covered to a certain degree. News Nation covered it. Dateline wrote an article on it. But still, we do not know what happened to him. And even one of the law enforcement officers said one day he's at his house and the next day he's just gone. And they can't explain it. They don't know if this was someone who was going through some personal issues and decided to go off on their own or if foul play was involved. But as always, we're here to do our part. We're here to cover these cases when we feel that they need to be covered. There is a small reward associated with the case. So either way, whatever it takes to incentivize someone to come forward, we're fine with that. So we're going to cover the case. We're going to go over the investigation and maybe someone out there will be able to help bring answers to Caden's family. So with that out of the way, let's dive into it. Caden McAllister Black was born on December 10th, 2003, to parents Kara and Maurice. He was raised along with his four siblings, two older and two younger, in Wrightsville, Pennsylvania. When speaking with NBC News, Kara described Caden as being, quote, one of a kind, with the greatest laugh. He laughed so hard and deeply that he had to hold his stomach and bend over. Caden is also extremely athletic. Kara explained, quote, he would go to the gym at least every other day, if not every day, and lift weights and work out. Caden also loves hiking, riding his bike, and playing football. When Caden was 3 years old, his parents divorced, and he and his younger siblings stayed with their mom. That being the case, Caden continued to maintain a close relationship with his dad. In 2019, when Caden was around 15 years old, Kara received an out-of-state promotion for work, which meant she, Caden, and his two younger siblings had to move to Maryland. A few years later, in November of 2021, now 17-year-old Caden told Kara that he missed his friends and his life in Pennsylvania. He wanted to move back to Wrightsville and live with his father, Maurice, and Kara wanted her son to be happy, so she agreed to let him go. Even though they were no longer living in the same state, Caden remained very close to his mom. They talked all the time, and whenever he was having a hard time or just needed a shoulder to lean on, Kara would drive to Wrightsville just to see him. Almost a year later, in September of 2022, Caden, who was now a senior in high school, got into a disagreement with Maurice and decided to move out. Caden's friend Ethan Faust offered to let Caden move in with him and his family at their home on Vicki Lee Drive in Wrightsville. This situation worked out really well because the Faust family lived right down the street from Maurice, so this meant that Caden could still visit his dad and their two pit bulls, and from what I understand, Caden really loved his dogs. Now let's fast forward for a second because after Caden went missing, NBC News asked Maurice why Caden was allowed to go live with another family, And Maurice explained that his son was, quote, at an age where he couldn't tell him where he can or can't live, so he had to let him be his own man. Now, I do think it's important to pause for a second and point out that although Caden was in high school, he was 18 years old and a legal adult. So in actuality, there wasn't much that Maurice could do to stop Caden from leaving. Now, after Caden moved in with the Faust family, he and Maurice still saw each other quite often, and Caden made sure to visit on Sunday so he could see his dad and walk the dogs. Now, as time passed, Caden seemed to be doing well living with the Fausts. He reportedly had a good relationship with Ethan's father, Chris, who told NBC that he and Caden spent a lot of time together, talking, riding bikes, and working on vehicles. By the fall of 2022, Caden was doing so well that he decided to start his own lawn care business, and this was set to be a great fit for Caden, who was well known in the town as a community helper. He also began working for a moving company, which meant he was bringing in his own paycheck, a big deal for any 18-year-old. On December 10th, Caden turned 19 years old, and a few days later, on the 14th, he and his mom began making plans for Christmas break. Caden told Kara that he was going to stay at her place on Christmas Eve so that he could wake up there Christmas morning. Kara later said that this call was completely normal, nothing seemed out of the ordinary. Caden was excited to see his mom and was likely looking forward to opening all of his Christmas gifts, which he knew was going to include some cash from Kara. On Saturday, December 17th, Caden spoke to his dad and said he'd come over the next day, like he did every Sunday, to not only hang out with his dad, but to also take the dogs for a walk. But when Sunday rolled around, Caden didn't show up. And this was really concerning because, as I mentioned earlier, Caden loved his dogs, and he wouldn't have missed an opportunity to see them. Now, according to the Find Caden Black Facebook page, Maurice tried to get a hold of Caden to ask what was going on, but he was unable to reach him. Caden's text messages were left unread, and his phone went straight to voicemail. Now, what's interesting is Maurice eventually called Chris Faust, who said that Caden was in his room sleeping. For the next few days, Maurice and Kara were unable to reach Caden. But then on December 20th, Chris called Kara to inform her that he hadn't seen Caden since the 17th. Kara explained that she hadn't heard from Caden during that time either, so following that conversation, Chris reported Caden missing. Chris later told Fox 43 that he went to bed pretty early on the 17th, and when he woke up around 5 or 6 a.m. on the 18th, he didn't see Caden, which wasn't completely unusual. Chris explained, quote, "Caden and my son would normally wake up at 9 at night and go to bed at 5 in the morning playing video games or whatever. So when Chris didn't see Caden on the 18th, he didn't think much of it. He continued not seeing Caden all day on Sunday and Monday, and it wasn't until Tuesday morning that Chris became worried. He opened Caden's bedroom door and learned that he wasn't home. Chris noted that the only things missing beside Caden were his wallet, cell phone, and whatever clothes he'd been wearing. After realizing this, Chris reached out to Kara and asked if she had heard from Caden. When she said she hadn't, he reported Caden missing. All right, so I think I speak for most people when I say, as kids, we all love cereal. And it was something that you can indulge in any time of the day. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, it didn't matter. Cereal was always a good choice. But unfortunately, as we get older, we have to be more health conscious. And I know personally, I had to start thinking about, how much sugar was in the cereal and how many empty carbs it contained. And that's when Magic Spoon came into play. You see, with Magic Spoon, it not only has the amazing flavors that you love, but it also is high in protein and contains less sugar. And I think I mentioned this last week. I'm someone who's trying to increase my protein intake, and you're supposed to take in 1 gram per body weight. That can be extremely difficult. So instead of having to drink protein shakes all day long, I can indulge in my favorite cereal, Magic Spoon, before or after a workout and know I'm tasting something that I really love while also giving my body the fuel it needs to help me keep running at my highest capability. And if you don't know what flavor you're going to like, Magic Spoon has you covered there with a variety pack, which contains 4 flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. Now, as I've already mentioned, peanut butter is my go-to, but I also enjoy the frosted. And if you're someone who likes chocolate flavored cereal, cocoa's awesome as well. And yes, the flavor is great, but for me, what it's really about is texture. And sometimes when you're eating foods that contain a lot of protein, you don't necessarily get the same texture that you would with the food that you're accustomed to eating. That is not the case with Magic Spoon. Their cereal is crunchy, flavorful, and listen, the numbers don't lie. The pack contains 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs, and only 140 calories per serving. You really can't beat that. It's high in protein, 0 grams of sugar, keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free. So I clearly love Magic Spoon. I think you will as well. And if you want to check it out, go to magicspoon.com/detective to grab your variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use my promo code DETECTIVE at checkout to save yourself $5 on your order. And by the way, if all of this wasn't enough to convince you, Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if for any reason you don't like the cereal, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. So remember to start your day off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/detective. And remember to use my code DETECTIVE at checkout to save yourself $5. Let's get back to the case. Now, according to the Find Caden Black Facebook page, Chris told police that because he didn't see or hear Caden after waking up that morning of the 18th, Caden must have left the house on the night of the 17th or in the very early hours of the 18th. Additionally, Chris told NBC that Caden's behavior had changed approximately 2 weeks before he disappeared. Instead of his usual habit of spending time with his family, Caden would come home, head straight to his room, and stay there. The Lower Windsor Township Police Department immediately began an investigation into Caden's disappearance. The police chief actually knew Caden well and was his high school track coach, so there seemed to be some extra sense of urgency there. Now, one of the first things the police did was ping Caden's cell phone, which revealed that it was last active at 9:28 a.m. on the 18th. This ping indicated a location approximately 2.4 miles from a cell tower situated on Old Commons Road within Windsor Township. And according to the Find Caden Black Facebook page, this tower is very close to the Faust home. Officers conducted a search within a 5 to 6 mile radius around the pinged location, but neither the phone nor Caden were located. Now, even though this appeared to be a dead end, the police were able to determine that Caden's phone had been turned off or died around 9:30 a.m. on the 18th, and at that time it was still connected to the Wi-Fi at the Faust home. The police further learned that around that same time Caden went missing, several of his social media platforms were deleted. They also found out that Caden had deposited his paycheck into his bank account on the 16th, but he didn't touch his account again after that. The deposit slip, along with Caden's driver's license, was found in Chris's car, which Caden had used to go to the bank. News Nation reported that authorities continued searching for Caden by air, land, and water in areas near the Faust home, Maurice's home, and wooded sections of the community. Unfortunately, the search was difficult as they were dealing with adverse weather like snow, ice, and a completely frozen over river. Despite these obstacles, the police continued looking, but they never found any sign of Caden. The police also looked at video camera and doorbell camera footage in the vicinity of the Faust home, yet no footage of Caden surfaced. The police later told NBC that they were left scratching their heads due to the lack of evidence they were able to recover, and they were really honest about it. They had little to go on, and they really weren't sure what happened to Caden. Now, with all of this going on, Christmas Day did come, and Kara just sat in her home all day thinking, quote, maybe Caden's just going to come in that door. But unfortunately, he never did. Kara later posted on Facebook that she initially thought Caden had disappeared voluntarily because of a court hearing in January of 2023. She explained that one day, while riding the bus, Caden, who was 18 years old at the time, was asked by the driver to return to his assigned seat after switching places. Caden refused, and as a result, the bus driver stopped the bus on the highway and insisted that Caden get off onto a busy road. When Caden refused again, the bus driver grabbed him and pulled out some of his hair. Caden reacted and defended himself, leading to a physical altercation with the driver. The police were called, and Caden was arrested. Kara mentioned that the altercation was caught on video surveillance, which gave Caden's attorney hope that he would be exonerated in court. However, Caden was understandably worried and told his mom he didn't want to go back to jail. This made Kara concerned that Caden had run away to avoid the court hearing. But as the January 2023 court hearing came and went, Caden didn't reach out to his mom to let her know he was okay, and this obviously left Kara fearing the worst. In April of 2023, The police held a press conference where they said they still needed help locating Caden. The police chief said, quote, "We are very concerned for his welfare and well-being. He's not in any trouble with the police. In fact, we've always had a very nice relationship with Caden. We would like to find him and put his family's mind at ease." Kara also spoke at the conference and pleaded for people to help bring her son home. She said while holding back tears, quote, "I would like someone to come forward and let me know something. I know somebody knows where my son is or what happened to my son. Somebody has to know something." That same month, Dateline published a long-form article about Caden's disappearance. His parents, Kara and Maurice, along with Chris Faust, were all interviewed for the article. Kara and Maurice said they were often reminded of how empty their lives were without Caden. Maurice said, quote, "We just need him home because it's like a big hole, an emptiness." The police also spoke to Dateline, and the chief said, quote, "Caden's disappearance has affected us on a personal level. We all knew Caden. We all got along with Caden. There's many a night we sat around the squad room brainstorming and trying to figure out what happened." Now, just to stop for a second and pause here, I can relate to this. Not everything is official. Sometimes, because again, inside those four walls of that police department, a lot of us are friends. And this isn't just something where we punch in at the beginning of the shift and we punch out. Every case that we're working, every case that we can't solve, when we go home at night to our family or our friends, we're still thinking about those cases. We're still trying to think what we could do differently the next day to maybe help point us in the right direction. And I often found myself talking about cases that we were currently working after hours. We could be at a restaurant. We could be out at a bar having a drink, whatever it might be. Even though it was our quote unquote off hours, if I were with colleagues, I still found myself talking about the cases with them, trying to think of alternate theories that we hadn't discussed yet. And so I can definitely see this happening internally where they feel like they've done everything they could, but yet they just can't move past it. So as they're sitting there, maybe during their lunch break or sitting around the squad room, like he said, they find themselves always going back to what happened to Caden Black. Because for them, it's not just a job. Like he said, it's personal. Now, the chief went on to say that he's really puzzled by Caden's disappearance. He stated, quote, "We had a perfectly physically fit young man. Basically, one night he's in the house and the next morning he's not there. We don't have anything pointing specifically to foul play, and we don't have anything specific about any sort of accident or self-harming or anything like that. It's just a big question mark." The chief concluded by asking anyone with information to please call in. In August, Caden's family announced a $5,000 reward for, quote, "information leading to the location of Caden and or the identification, arrest, and conviction of the person or persons responsible for his disappearance." The police gave an update at that time as well, stating they were still investigating Caden's disappearance as a missing persons case, and there was no evidence suggesting foul play. They had interviewed family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, and the Faust family, and everyone had cooperated. The police further mentioned that there had been a few tips and alleged sightings, but none of that materialized into anything. In September, Kara revealed for the first time that Caden had experienced, quote, "mental health challenges, including being diagnosed with bipolar disorder, oppositional defiant disorder, and autism." She told Fox 43, quote, "the autism spectrum diagnosis was fairly recent, within the year before he went missing. He's high functioning, but still on the spectrum. We found these things out because Caden was struggling with school a lot." Kara said she initially held back from sharing these details publicly because of the stigma attached to it, but she had since changed her mind. Now December came around again, and Caden's family held a vigil to mark 1 year since he went missing, as well as his 20th birthday. Fox 32 reported that Kara spoke at the vigil, stating, quote, "Caden is very loved. He's very missed. It's unimaginable. It's one of those things that you hear about, but you never think is going to happen to you. Our whole family is missing him. It makes a difference in everything." Caden's brother Carter said, quote, "Every birthday, every holiday that comes around, it's definitely the toughest." Carter continued saying that if Caden was out there, he should call their mom and simply say that he was okay. Carter continued by saying, quote, "I think that would start pushing my mom in a better direction, pushing the whole family in a better direction." Kara added to that sentiment, stating, quote, Caden, if he's out there, just come home. Just let us know that you're okay. If you're okay, let us know that you're okay. In March of 2024, Kara sat down with News Nation for an interview. She said that while she initially thought Caden had run away to avoid the court hearing, she no longer thought that this theory made a lot of sense. She said, quote, "It doesn't make sense that on December 17th, 1 week after he turned 19, 1 week before Christmas, that he would decide to just run away, for a case that wasn't even coming up until the end of January. At this time, Karen Maurice also revealed some issues the family was having with the Fausts. Kara said months after Caden disappeared, Chris blocked the family on Facebook. He also sold Caden's 4Runner, which was a gift from Kara. Maurice asked, quote, "If you believe he's missing, why would you sell it?" Maurice further said, quote, "I've never had a feeling he was dead or anything, but I don't know. Just certain things are not adding up in my brain right now, but I haven't given up hope yet." The police also spoke to News Nation about Caden's disappearance and for the first time said there was a possibility of foul play. They went on to say there were many unknowns. They weren't even sure what time Caden left the house. It could have been after his phone last connected to the Wi-Fi, or it could have been before. They weren't sure, which made things more difficult. Before the end of the interview, the police made sure to mention that there were no persons of interest in the case, including the Fausts. Now, on top of all of that, in March of 2024, Kara spoke to CBS 21, and she agreed that foul play was a possibility, stating, quote, "I have felt it was foul play the whole time because the facts of Caden's case don't make sense." She pointed out that after Caden deposited his paycheck on the 16th, he didn't touch his bank account again. Kara pointed out that if he was planning on leaving, he would have taken that money with him. And she also noted that Caden knew she was going to give him money for Christmas. So if he was really thinking about running away, wouldn't he have waited for that money as well? Now, these are a few of the factors that lead Kara to believe that something bad may have happened to her son. And she told the media that she will continue fighting for answers. And she said, quote, "He's my baby, so yeah, I'm going to try to be strong and try to keep going. I'm going to keep trying, whether strong or weak." Okay, let's get right into this perspective. And this one, without a doubt, the best way to describe it is the way it was described by police. A complete head scratcher. It just doesn't make sense. Yes, on the surface, you could make a case for a few different scenarios. The first one, it could be a situation where Caden was going through a difficult time based on some of the things in his life and based on some of the mental disorders that he was battling that we didn't know about initially. And maybe he just decided, yeah, I just want to get away from all this and start a new life. But you would think after all this time and all the pain that's been caused that he would at least make a call to his mom or his dad to say, hey, I'm sorry I did this to you. I'm okay. You don't have to worry anymore. I'm fine. Just one simple call. Why leave them struggling the way they are, wondering what happened to their son? I don't think Caden would have done that if he had a choice. And then you have another scenario, although very unlikely, where Caden could have went out that night late on the 17th or early the 18th, and a tragic accident occurred near the river where he potentially fell in. But with the amount of people searching for him and the amount of technology and resources that were being used, I don't know if that would have occurred. And without me actually being there, I don't know how frozen over this river was. Was it, you know, 3-4 inches thick, or was it 6 to 10 inches thick? And, you know, could he have even fallen in? Could it be a situation where he saw an animal out on the river or something like that and he tried to help and he fell in? Again, very unlikely, but it is a small possibility that could explain why he's never been found. Maybe he stepped outside the house and his phone was with him and he went into the river along with his cell phone around 9:30 that morning. And that's why he or his cell phone have never been found. And that's why it went off. When it did, it goes into the water, it gets fried, and it turns off. And maybe this all occurred near the Faust home, which is why the phone was still connected to the Wi-Fi. But then all these other issues come in. How close is the river to the home? How far would the Wi-Fi signal extend? Would it even reach the river at any point? I'm assuming these are all things that the law enforcement officers in charge of this case looked into. All those possible scenarios of, okay, Could he have harmed himself? Could this have been a tragic accident? Based on those parameters, based on what we do know to be factual regarding the phone, would any of these scenarios fall into that equation as far as, okay, if he had fallen in the river over here, it would explain X, Y, Z. They know those facts. I don't. But the fact that they haven't completely ruled it out says to me that it's still on the table. And then there's the final scenario, which is also the worst scenario, which is that something happened to Caden on either the night of the 17th or early the 18th. And it could have happened in the Faust home, or Caden may have left the house and went and seen someone else that we're unaware of, and something could have happened there. I know it's human nature to always accuse the individuals last known to be with the victim. We see it happen all the time. And in some instances, there's validity to that and it's deserving. And I know that Kara and Maurice have some questions about the Fausts, but I think the fact that law enforcement has been so adamant about ensuring that everybody knows they're not even persons of interest is important. That means at minimum, they have zero information that would be incriminating against them. Doesn't mean they're innocent, but it also means that there's nothing connecting them to any type of crime. And I do think there's a possibility, based on Caden being someone who did what he wanted to do, that he could have left the house that night or could have left early that morning and may have encountered someone that went south. That's not out of the realm of possibility. That said, I will acknowledge that Kara and Maurice's concern about Chris's decision to sell Caden's 4Runner is perplexing to me as well. And maybe that's because I don't know all the details of Chris and Caden's relationship and what may have been discussed prior to Caden's disappearance. I personally can't see a reason, based on what we currently have and how recent this case really is, it's only been 16 months, why Chris would make that decision to sell that truck. But only Chris knows that, and he would have to answer to law enforcement and maybe give an answer to the public to put them at ease. Maybe there's something that we don't know that would explain why he did that. So I don't want to rush to judgment on that one and automatically say, oh, he sold the car, he's got to be guilty of something. Sometimes people handle trauma different ways, and you have to hear from them directly and make your own decision as far as their explanation for it. So with all of that, where are we with this case? What can we do from here? Well, first off, positive note, it seems like law enforcement is very motivated and willing to cooperate with the public and be an agency that's willing to divulge some of their case to the public in order to keep them updated. I always think that's a good thing. And it does seem like they're using all of their resources available to try to find Caden. But at some point, you may run out of options, and that's why they're asking for the public's help. And that's where we all come in. If nothing can be done, if there's no tools in the toolbox that haven't been used yet that can be used by the detectives, then it's going to take an outside source. It's going to take a witness coming forward. It's going to take one of you to help solve this case. So as always, I want to give a recap of this investigation to see if it jogs the memory of someone who's listening or watching this episode. So 19-year-old Caden Black last contacted his family on December 17th, 2022. His phone connected to the Wi-Fi at the Faust home on Vicki Lee Drive in Wrightsville, Pennsylvania, at around 9:30 a.m. on December 18th. At that time, his phone also pinged in the same vicinity, and after 9:30, his phone was either turned off or it died. No sign of Caden has ever been found. Now, Caden is a light-skinned black male with dark brown hair and brown eyes. He's approximately 5'10", 160 pounds, with an athletic build. Now, as far as clothing description, it's unclear what he was last wearing. And I strongly recommend you guys all check out the Facebook page, Find Caden Black, which was created for people to learn additional information and keep Caden's name circulating. Anyone with information should contact the Lower Windsor Township Police Department at 1-717-244-8055. I want to send my thoughts to Kara, Maurice, Caden's siblings, and the rest of his friends and family. I know this has affected an entire community. I'm also pulling for the Lower Windsor Township Police Department. I know they're working their butts off to try and find Caden. We're going to keep rooting for you guys. This case is relatively new in comparison to some of the cold cases, And I'm really hoping with the motivation behind this case that we get a positive update on Caden's whereabouts. And hopefully he's just a little lost right now and he needs someone to pull him out of whatever he's in, and that he's found and brought home and reunited with his family. But we're going to keep rooting for them. We're going to keep an update on this. And if anything happens, I will let you guys know. But until then, everyone stay safe out there, and I'll see you next week.